Just going to grab another microphone for Terry.
Of course it is. There you go, Terry.
We do this together when we come and speak to a church because we both are involved with coordinating and running the ministry in Miami. I just want to start off with a word of prayer. Please join with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your life, Jesus, that you so freely gave for us. That's why we're here. Without you, we wouldn't have new life. Without you, it wouldn't be worth it. But as we hear from your word today, what you've done for each and every one of us is worth every ounce that we can give back to you. So come, Holy Spirit, have your way with this time, and may all the words that we share and everything we talk about glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you heard, my name is Matt, and this is Terry, and we have our kids here with us too. We want to talk to you a little bit about our family in a minute. But first, we want to start off by saying thank you to New Life Alliance. This church sends donations our way on a monthly basis, and we know that's no small thing. It means a lot to us because we raise funds for everything we do. And so we just want to start off by saying thank you. And we're excited to be here today to share about what God's doing with Envision Miami and with the gospel and everything that's happening down there. But I just want to give you this disclaimer. Okay, it's all about what he's doing. We might be telling you stories about what's happening and stuff, but we want to make sure that we glorify God, because when we got there, we had no idea what we were supposed to do. And as I said, every day we pray for wisdom, and God gives it to us because he says in his word that if you lack wisdom, just ask for it, and I'm going to give it to you liberally. That's what he says. And so we believe that, we trust that, and he does. It's amazing. You guys should try it if you haven't. But God has really given us a lot of wisdom on what to do to reach people in creative ways with the gospel of Jesus. So that's what we want to talk to you about today. And we're going to share a lot about our family and everything. So let's get started.
Okay. So first, we do have a picture of our whole family so you can kind of see all of us. It's funny because when we started this whole journey, Matt and I both said, you know, what if this isn't about us? What if it isn't about Matt or it isn't about Terry? What if it's about these five kids that God blessed us with? And it's been amazing because as we have watched them, this is making me teary-eyed already. My.
It's okay.
Whew. As we have watched them grow up in this ministry that God called us to, we have seen each one of them. We've seen the power of God move and work. And when you watch your kids grow up in a way that only God can do, it is amazing. And you know it's him. You know it's not you. Because we know we are not perfect. And to look at these kids, our two older boys are both at Toccoa Falls College. They are majoring in some form of ministry. Alec, our oldest, 22, wants to go into inner city ministry, which is amazing because when we started, he said, you guys work too much. You are hardworking, and this is exhausting, and I don't want to do it. And now he's going right into it. Crazy. We have Marcus, who is looking at going overseas. If you can just keep praying for him, he's praying about going to southern Iraq this summer, which my mama's heart is a little nervous about that, but God's in control. We have Ella, who is looking at what's next. The only thing that she is certain of is that God is calling her to some form of ministry. She has no idea what, and every day she's praying, okay, God, lead me, and that she is walking in trust, and it's making me cry. She's walking in trust and faith and believing that God is going to show up for her like he has for us. We have Madeline, who is like, God, I know you're calling me. I'm right there. I'm ready and I'm willing. Isaac mentioned not long ago, I want to go into prison ministry. Guys, this is not Matt and I. This is God. And it is amazing to see his hand. And they have been with us every step of the way through our ministry. They are our number one workers. Whenever we need something, we look at them and they're like, yep, we're coming. Here we are. They have been our go-to for everything, and we are so grateful. So when you pray, pray for them and their future, because we said it's dark in Miami, and you brought up that it's dark everywhere. They're going everywhere, and we're thankful.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a little bit about the Alliance and Alliance missions that we are all part of, right? You guys are part of the Alliance, New Life Alliance. But a little bit about Alliance missions. There's four different branches of missions within the Alliance. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Bear with me. I'll keep it short. There's Comma Services, which you see on your left, that deals mainly with relief ministry. There's Marketplace Ministries that deals with putting a business in a place as an open door for the gospel. Access workers are traditional missionaries that have been sent out ever since the Alliance started sending out missionaries. There are church planters, the ones that go to least reached areas. And then there's Envision. Envision is more geared towards hosting short-term mission teams, and that's what we are. The cool thing about this is, in our ministry in Miami, and before we were in missionaries in the Dominican Republic, we collaborated in different ways with Comma Services. We've done that serving for hurricane relief in Florida when Irma came through in South Florida. Also on the West Coast when the recent hurricane came through, and also in Cuba. So we've partnered with Comma. We've also partnered with Access workers in different areas. And one of those ministries is serving in an island that's just south of Florida. But I don't really share it too much because it's things that we kind of keep under our hat. We can talk more about it if you're here for the potluck. But it's really neat to be able to collaborate with other missionaries for the same goal of taking the gospel to the least reached people. Envision Miami, what we're all about is identifying, developing, and mobilizing people into God's mission. So we try to do anything we can to meet people. We do all kinds of events and things like that. And once we start to meet them and get to know them, they know what we're doing. We try to invite them to volunteer with us, help walk with them as they learn how and experience what serving Jesus looks like. And then we try to mobilize them into whatever God's mission is in their life. So we figure if we can keep doing that and more people get working and there are more workers that are in the harvest and more people come and can hear the gospel and respond. So that's our mission in Miami. And one of the main things we do is host mission teams.
Right. So on average, we have one mission group that comes down from anywhere in the United States or Canada. They come down to work with us in Miami. We have one a month, except for May, June, and July, where we generally have two teams a month. So we have people coming, giving up a whole week of work, school, whatever, coming down to serve with us. We've had over 2,500 service hours just last year alone of people volunteering with us. They help us do anything from partnering with the local church to helping them to accomplish projects, helping us do our food distributions, our Bible club, our robotics program, anything that we have going on, we pretty much shove the team right in there and they help us go out and serve. It's pretty cool because we take all ages. We've had little littles, like a five-year-old little girl who was out there evangelizing on the beach, up to older people or younger people. We had a gentleman who was 78 years young and he came on his first ever mission trip and he told us it changed his life. And it's amazing because it doesn't matter your age. God is going to use you. He already knows you're coming. He's already got the plan worked out. And we get to be the ones that get to help facilitate it and see the growth. We have had hundreds, thousands of conversations on the beach with people about God, about Jesus, evangelizing, spreading the gospel. We get to have food distributions once a month where we've given over 50 tons of food to over 250 families. Although I think we need to check our numbers because last week, we had to turn families away because we didn't have enough food. So the need down there is amazing, and these teams give us our extra energy and just enthusiasm because sometimes we get tired, and they bring that with them, which is awesome.
Yeah, one of the things that Terry mentioned was our community, our city and community outreach or partnerships. One of the things we do is, let's go next slide. next slide after that, is we focus on church partnerships. Terry and I are the only ones, the only full-time staff at Envision Miami, right? But we get volunteers all the time. Mission teams coming in, and we figure if we can partner with a local church and strengthen them, come alongside them with whatever they're doing, encourage them, pray with them, maybe help with a little project or an outreach, then if we can do that with multiple churches, then we multiply our impact. And so that's one key thing that we hold dear, is partnering with our local churches, the congregations, pastors, to help them in whatever they're doing. We've also done outreaches, we've done training, had some events for pastoral care, fun events for pastors and their wives to just get them out and enjoy time together.
We also, like I said, have an after-school Bible club, which is crazy time. We're in a public school. We get to work through, it's a K through 8 school, but we get to work with the middle school, so like 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. 50 young people screaming and yelling for 3 hours. It's outstanding. I recommend it for everybody because you go home just exhausted and you're in awe. The things that these kids ask, the questions they ask, things that, I mean, Matt and I look at each other, we're like, how are we going to answer that? So we had a great idea, actually God gave it to us, that we're going to bring our two teenage daughters in to help facilitate because they're younger than us and they can speak more of their language, right? So they are now joining us and they come in with us and they're in small group and they're having these hard discussions, discussions like, God can't love me because I'm a horrible person. Even my parents say so. I mean, when you have a child telling you this and you're like, oh my, you know, how do we explain this? It's impactful. It's amazing. A new program that we have that's starting, actually this Thursday we're kicking off, is a robotics program at our center, which is amazing because so many of the kids in our area cannot get into robotics. They don't have that opportunity. They can't afford it. There's other reasons. We are offering it very cheap, and we have a retired school teacher who actually, her focal point after school was robotics, and she literally walked up to us one day and said, can I volunteer with you? We started talking, and she said, I love robotics. Do you have anything like that? I'm like, no, but let's do it. And she's like, yes. So she is on fire. She is setting up our whole room, and she was out at our food distribution talking to every single car, you know, getting people interested. So we are super excited about that, too.
Now, I don't know if you know much about robotics, but it's expensive, yeah. Right? To get the equipment, the computers, all of the things that the kids need to build these robots and compete in competitions is expensive. And we were able, God provided through a grant, we received $22,000 so that we can not only have a robotics program, but have a really good one that's gonna help these kids in engineering, math, leadership, teamwork. And we're also, every time, having a devotion with them. So we're talking to them about Jesus. And we're building a team. So that's an awesome outreach we're excited about. The other things that we do in the neighborhood, on a weekly or monthly basis, if you want to go to the next slide, we're just trying to reach our neighbors, okay? And any way we can, like I mentioned, meeting people's felt needs and building community. Next slide. We just do cookouts where we'll put a grill out on the sidewalk, literally right next to the street, and we'll knock door to door and ask people to come and share a meal with us and get to know them. We have an event called Renew the City where we get hundreds of volunteers to come in and we go out and serve our neighbors by doing yard cleanup or things like that. Terry mentioned the food distribution. And then this year, we started our very first ever Christmas store, and Terry is going to share you about
with
that.
I'm sure you guys might have done it. Many people do it where you have the toy drives. Everybody brings in a brand new toy, and then you offer it out to the community. We did it with a twist because we decided, knowing our community, we want to help them get a little bit of dependence, right? Independence. We don't want dependence because we feel like sometimes we're creating that dependence, like they expect things from us. So we wanted them to have some independence where they come in, they pick their time, they come in and shop, and they actually shop. Every toy we got was sent to us from Amazon. We had a wish list, several partnering churches. They just continued to send us brand new gifts. We laid everything out. All the gifts were 70% off. Nothing was over $20. And we said, we had a rule. You have how many children? You can buy either 3 gifts for that one child or spend $20. That's it. Once they hit $20 or 3 gifts, then they had to move on to the next child and so on. We had a personal shopper walk around with them and help the gifts and help them pick out things. And then they walked them over to our gift wrap station where they got to have cookies and hot cocoa and festivities and talk with our neighbors and talk with our volunteers. They got everything gift wrapped and then they went home and they paid for it and they loved it. And the words I heard out of one mom was, I had nothing for Christmas this year at all. And now I feel like super mom because I bought their gifts, things that they wanted. And it was another outreach, another way into that community that we're just trying to be the light out there. And it's been amazing.
The other thing that we do with all of our teams that come down, next slide, is we do evangelism. I mentioned earlier Miami's dark. All of Florida is needs Jesus. And in Miami, about 5% or less are Christian. So that means a lot of people need to hear the gospel. So we've, for the last several years, made a focus where every team that comes down, we're going to train them in evangelism, and then we're going to take them out in the neighborhood or on the beach, and we're going to talk to people about Jesus. It's been amazing. We've had people get saved through that ministry, but we've planted and scattered the seeds of the Word of God so much, and we're trusting that God is going to do what He does best, and that's redeem and save. So with every team we do this, and then a year ago we started training them, besides just the evangelism, we added on another training called orality. It's like morality without the M, orality. And basically it's Bible storytelling. Because most people after they graduate college, they don't even pick up a book. A lot of people prefer to learn in an oral way. Like they like stories. I don't know, how many like stories? Right. And people actually prefer to learn orally rather than literally. And in our neighborhood, if I had a Bible study and I opened a book and I said, okay, turn your books to Romans chapter 1, the next week I would probably have half the many people there. Because a lot of people, let's face it, don't read their Bible. They don't know much about it. And they would rather learn orally. I'm not saying we shouldn't study the Word of God. Please don't misunderstand me. This is another technique that we teach people to share the Word of God accurately and in a story way. In order to kind of give you a demonstration, I wanted to reflect on our verse today in Romans chapter 1. And I want to share with you what this technique looks like. So I'm going to tell you a story today. You guys ready? Yeah. Terry's going to take a seat because this might take me a few minutes. So this is my story from the Word of God. There was this man, and his name was Paul. Well, his name was also Saul. So if I say Paul or Saul, just know it's the same thing. Okay, so Paul is Saul, and Saul is Paul. I don't have a lot of time to explain why that is right now, but just suffice it to say that they're the same person. And it wasn't too uncommon for people to have two names back then. Another background point that I want you to know is what's happening with a central character in this whole story, and that's Jesus. Okay, so the story takes place after Jesus came and lived his life. He was crucified, died, buried, and rose again. And then after that, he appeared to more than 500 witnesses. After that, they saw him ascend to heaven. And that's where he is now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And preparing a place for all of us someday, as we heard earlier, right? We're going to be in heaven someday. Amen?
Amen.
So, this was after all that. Saul was persecuting Christians. He did not like what Christians were doing. He believed that they were going against God, that they were lying about God because they said that Jesus was the Son of God. And he would make sure that they would get arrested and punished, even to the point of some of them being put to death. And he would stand there approving of it. Now, in his life, he did this time and time again. And he even got permission to go to the next city called Damascus. so he could arrest Christians there and get them punished. Well, on his way, this great light from heaven came and surrounded him, and he fell to his knees. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." So the men with him helped Saul get up, because he couldn't see. He was blinded by the light of Jesus. And he took him into the city, and there God sent another man to him. His name was Ananias. And Ananias went to the house where Paul was, or Saul, same person, right? And he went into the house, and he laid hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to give you your sight, and that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit of God." Immediately, something like scales came off of his eyes, and Saul could see again. And then, right after that, he was baptized. And he was so excited about receiving Jesus that he started telling everybody about Jesus. He would go tell them about Jesus is the Son of God. And people were so confused because they were like, "Who is this guy? Wasn't he persecuting people who are Christians? And now he is one?" So then he went back to Jerusalem because he wanted to meet with Jesus' closest followers, his disciples. But they didn't want to meet with him because they didn't think he'd changed. Barnabas was one of them, and he heard Paul's story, and he believed him. So he told the disciples that about Paul, what happened to him, that Jesus came to him on the road, that he was blind, and then he had sight again, and that he received the Holy Spirit and was baptized. And so they let him come and spend time with them. And Paul spent time with the disciples, and he walked around Jerusalem freely, sharing the message about Jesus and how he is the Son of God. Not too long after that, they were all together in one place worshiping, and the Spirit of God said, "Set Barnabas and Saul apart for the work that I have for them." And right then they prayed over them, and then they sent them out. And that's how Paul became the first missionary, one of the first missionaries of the early church. Paul would go from church, city to city, starting new churches, training church leaders, and he would do it again. He would move it from one city to the next. Now, he didn't start all the churches, but he started a lot of them. And after a while, more and more churches came to be. And when he couldn't go see them, he would write letters to them. And that's what the rest of my story is about the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He didn't start this church, but he really wanted to go there because he had heard about them. He had heard about their faith. So Paul wrote him this letter. He begins by saying that, "I've heard so much about your faith." Now, I don't know if you know much about Rome, but Rome was not an easy place to live as a Christian. If you wanted to live for God, it was not an easy place to do that, because most people were going against God. You would definitely be in a minority if you were a Christian in Rome. Sound familiar? So anyway, Paul was so amazed by their faith that he said, "I give thanks to God for you. And I really want to come see you because I want to share more with you to help strengthen your faith, to help you grow in your faith, and to tell more people about Jesus so that they can know him and believe." Because this is what Paul said. He said, "I am a servant of Jesus," which basically means that no matter what it costs, Paul was going to share the message of Jesus, even if it cost him his life. Now, they called this good news, this amazing news about Jesus, the gospel. And you might be wondering, well, what is this gospel that someone would give their life for? Well, I'm going to get to that because Paul talks about it in a minute. So he told them, I want to come and visit you. I want to share my faith, or share with you and help you be strengthened. Because he said, I want to share the gospel with anyone, whoever will listen, whether they're uncultured or cultured, whether they're wise or simple-minded, with anyone who listens, I want to share the gospel. And then he gets to this final statement in this story that is so bold that I just want you to catch it. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because... Now listen, because this is where he says what the gospel is. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to bring salvation to all who believe, no matter who they are. And if they receive it into their lives by faith, they will be saved. And that's my story from the Word of God. Now in this orality technique, we teach people to learn the story so that they can tell it accurately and relate it to the person. Because if someone hears a story that you read to them, they might receive it in their head. But if you can speak in their language, which people prefer to learn, in this oral method, there's a good chance it might reach their heart. Now, I don't know if you guys were with me in the story, but the purpose is to draw people into the story. And then at the end, you ask questions so you can dig out the treasure of the story. And imagine if you're doing this in a group of 5 or 10 people, and each person shares what they heard in the story, and the Holy Spirit moves, and now all this treasure that maybe you didn't even know was there is now coming up, and you're like, wow, I never thought of that. Now, the first question we ask is, what did you like in this story? Simple question. Now, we can't do this interchange here, but I'm going to share with you what I liked about this story. I really liked about this story, it impacted me, is that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I just thought about that. Does that mean he's not ashamed of saying the gospel? I think it's more than that. I think Paul was saying that I put my whole life, I took 100% and I invested. I put all my eggs in one basket, and my basket is the gospel. I put everything that I have, everything that I am, all my reputation, everything I bet on the gospel, and I have not been disappointed. He put his confidence in the gospel, and he's saying, I'm not ashamed of that. I made the right choice. And I will continue to do that until the day God calls me home. That really inspired me because I'm like, am I sold out for the gospel? Am I really all in for Jesus and sharing with people that he loves them, that he wants to transform their lives like he did Paul? Paul knew firsthand what the transformation looked like. He was persecuting Christians, putting them in jail. Some of them would die, and he approved of it. How could he be redeemed? He knew that could only come by the power of God. And that's why it says the gospel is the power of God to bring salvation to all who believe, no matter who they are. What would the church look like if we were all in for Jesus? What would your family look like? What would our cities look like? Those are the questions that come to mind when I think about this first question. Now, there's other questions that I can share with you later, but we don't have enough time. But this is just one of the techniques that we teach to our teams, because if you really like reading the Bible and telling the stories, it helps you kind of dig in deeper to the Bible, really to be marveled by the stories, by the Word of God. It's really hard to explain, but everybody who comes really, really enjoys it. And so I thank you for letting me share that with you. I'm going to have Terry come back up here as we close.
Oh, you're really well done.
Praise the Lord. Let me share. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One other thing. I mentioned we asked this question. What did you like in this story? So, Terry, what did you like in this story?
One thing that I liked in the story is there's this man who has a pretty messed up past, because I think many of us can relate to things that were in our past, you know, BC, before Christ. And he was able to give it all up, be forgiven, and give it all to God. And then he turned his whole life around and started living for God in ways that are amazing. Like, he knew he could have died for this. And I think, could I die for this? I don't know. Is my faith that? But he trusted God above everything. And he was that Christian who went around and said, come on, let's go. I'm going to encourage you. I'm writing notes to you. When's the last time I wrote a note to somebody just to encourage them and say, hey, I'm rooting for you. I'm your cheerleader. I don't know. His faith was so much, but it was little things that he did. It wasn't the big grand things. It was the small little things that he did, I think, that hit me the most.
Thanks for sharing. Sorry to put you on the spot. Next slide. This is our ministry center. This is where we do all of our ministry out of. Diego's been there. He's worked on our air conditioning multiple times. Thank you, Diego. This place is a gem. We've been doing a renovation project on it for 5 years, and we've struggled getting permits and inspections done and approved. It's not like we're doing so much that it should take 5 years. For some reason, it's taking a long time. And maybe Terry just tells me it's because God's trying to teach me something and I should learn it already. But I think it's a combination of different things. Anyway, we're just so thankful to have a place to do ministry out of. And it's improving all the time. And people have come there. They've heard the gospel. They hear about Jesus. And they've been able to experience serving Jesus to the community out of this place. So we're just praying for the glory of God to be shown there and people to come and feel the peace of the Lord there. That's our ministry center. And if you come and visit us, you'll get to stay there. Next slide. Speaking of coming to visit us, I mentioned that we host short-term mission teams. Now, I don't know if you've been on a short-term mission trip lately, and you might think, well, Miami is just an hour down the road. It's not that far. We need to go somewhere else. Well, wherever the Lord leads you is where he leads you, and we are totally good with that. But if the Lord leads you to Miami, we have opportunities for you to come and serve down there. We just had a church from Deltona come down and serve for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and had an amazing time doing evangelism. They were really impacted. We were blessed to minister with them. So that's one opportunity to serve. You could bring a mission team down. The other thing we have here is we have volunteers. In our weekly events, food distributions, other things that we do, you could just come and volunteer for half a day. We have interns. This year we have 2 interns, and we've had more than that in the past, but we could use some more. We're looking for, you know, college-age students to come and serve for a month or a little more if they can to help us. And we disciple them, get them connected, give them opportunities to lead. And then the other thing is maybe you like to cook. And you're good at it, and you don't have a problem cooking for 20 people. We need people to come and cook for our teams because it's a lot just to make sure we have good, hot, good quality food for our teams. We've had people come down and they spend a week, and that's all they do is they manage the food. Cook breakfast, we have sandwiches for lunch, and then we have some ethnic meal that they either go out and get at a restaurant or they cook. So a ministry chef is another way that you could volunteer. And all of these things, you know, we can give you more details on in the back. Then we have people who are retired or near retirement who want to give back, and we call that our give back program. And people will come whenever they can come. They come for a few days or a week or a day, and it's usually at their own expense, and they just come down and serve. We have one guy who comes faithfully. His name is Doug. And we met him way back 9 years ago in the Dominican Republic. And ever since then, we've been connected. The Lord has brought us together. So those are opportunities for you to serve in Miami. And then lastly, we just want to say once more. Oh, wait, I think there's one more slide. We already did that. Next slide. Thank you. Thank you for having us here, for welcoming us here, making us feel at home, putting us in the doghouse, although we thought that was bad at first. Thank you for prayers, and we do have prayer requests that we can share with you real quick on the last slide. Can we talk about those real quick? Oh, yeah, you guys hit them all. Kids, more workers for the harvest. As you can imagine, running a ministry by ourselves is a lot, and we need more workers. Finishing our renovation project, there's some financial piece to that where we have to fundraise a little bit more. Upcoming events and ministries, and then our personal and site funding. So those are prayer requests. If you're jotting them down, please keep us in your prayers. Let me pray as we close. Thank you so much, Jesus, for this time together to talk about the life transformation, the salvation that you have brought us, the new life that we can experience in you. I just want to pray for anyone here who's never experienced new life in you. And maybe your spirit, Lord, is tugging at their hearts, that you want them to take that step to experience new life, transform life, to be saved, to turn away from their sins in the past and turn to you, Lord. If that person is here within the sound of my voice, Lord, would you minister them and let them know that all they need to do is call on the name of Jesus to be saved. And I just pray for the rest of us, Lord, that you will help us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Not only in speaking it, but in living it out. But in showing people that we have a hope that is beyond ourselves, that is beyond this life. And that they can have that hope too. Empower us with your Holy Spirit as we go from here. And let us be forever changed because of what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's hard to believe. my time to go. But before I leave, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've gotta go now for a little while. But goodbye's not the end. Don't things that I taught you. I conquered death and I hold the key. Where I go, you will go to someday. But there's much to do here before you.
Would you stand with me, please? Please hang out with us. I'm sure there's plenty of food over there for all of us to enjoy together. And maybe you can talk a little bit more to Matt and Terry. And it's good to see Bob and Sue back up here, too. God bless you guys. Awesome. Nice song, Barbara. That was your suggestion for today. I love it. And now, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. God bless you. Go serve your God.